Hello, darklings, and welcome to the Nocturnal Mysteries Podcast, a show about the paranormal, supernatural, mysterious, and things that go bump in the night. I'm your host, Jenny. Please come and join me. Sit down and place your fingers on the planchette, and let's jump right into this nocturnal mystery. Listener, nestled near the entrance of Rocky Mountain National Park, just 70 miles from downtown Denver, Colorado, sits one of America's most notoriously haunted destinations, as well as the famed inspiration for Stephen King's acclaimed horror novel, The Shining, the Stanley Hotel. This historic 140-room Colonial Revival Hotel in Estes Park is one of the oldest hotels still standing in Colorado and has been spoiling its guests with luxurious amenities, gorgeous mountain views, and an abundance of frightening folklore since it first opened its doors in 1909. With a history like the Stanley's, as well as its claim to fame as being the hotel that left horror author Stephen King shaking in his boots, it's no wonder that this monument to early 20th century Americana has long been attracting its fair share of both ghost hunters and lovers of the paranormal for decades. Estes Valley was once a wild mountain parkland known only to the wandering tribes of the Ute and Arapaho. When the Earl of Dunraven visited in 1872, he coveted this area as a sportsman's paradise, full of rushing streams and peaceful meadows, teeming with fish and game. He sought to keep the valley to himself as a private hunting preserve, but as more and more American settlers were drawn to the area by its natural beauty, he quickly realized that this dream could never be a reality, and eventually he sold the land. Freeman Oscar Stanley was an American inventor, entrepreneur, hotelier, and architect. At the time, school children used the Stanley practical drawing set. Photographers used photographic plates he had created, both which had made him a multimillionaire. Along with his twin brother, he also founded the Stanley Motor Carriage Company. The Stanley steamer had a top speed of 127 miles per hour, which made it the fastest vehicle on Earth at the time. In 1903, Stanley was given less than 6 months to live, due to tuberculosis. The doctor prescribed him fresh, dry air, sunlight, and a healthy diet, but warned him that he would likely be dead before the summer's end. Like many with the same diagnosis, Stanley and his wife headed for the Rocky Mountains. It was not an easy trek from Massachusetts, but his doctor promised to come in September and bring Stanley's body back for burial. However, within just a couple months, Stanley was hiking 5 miles a day and nowhere near death's door. He ended up falling in love with the valley in Estes Park. That gave him a second chance at life and decided to return every summer. When Stanley first stepped foot in Colorado, he looked like the walking dead. At 5'11", which was quite tall at the time, he had weighed only 118 pounds and looked like he had 1 foot in the grave. Just 4 years later, he was completely recovered and in the best shape of his entire life. However, he and his wife Flora were used to the sophistication of East Coast society, and the little community of Estes Park offered little to stimulate and challenge this multi-talented genius. Together, they resolved to build a beautiful grand hotel, and when the Stanley Hotel opened on July 4, 1909, the first guests who pulled up in stylish Stanley-designed steam cars were astonished at what they saw. Here, in this mountain wilderness, surrounded by the rustic haunts of the hunter and homesteader, was an edifice that withstood comparison to the posh hotels in the East. Designed by architect T. Robert Weiger, in the Georgian Revival style, it included electric lights, telephones, ensuite bathrooms, a hydraulic elevator, a staff of uniformed servants, and a fleet of automobiles that were at the guest's disposal, all of which was a luxury at the time. Naturally, Stanley had also done a lot to develop the burgeoning town. By 1917, it was an official municipality with waterworks, a power plant, and civic organizations that were all in some way thanks to Stanley. Stanley died in 1940 at the age of 91, but many believe his presence can still be seen and felt at the hotel, mainly at the bar and in the billiard room. By the 1970s, the hotel's splendor had faded due to lack of care and investment. It might have eventually succumbed to complete disrepair if not for a fortuitous visit by author Stephen King. A stay of one night was enough to inspire his third major work and first hardcover bestseller, The Shining, which remains a landmark masterpiece in a long and well-known list of novels. One hotspot that has caught the attention of psychic mediums worldwide is the hotel's main staircase, an impressive piece of classical architecture that has, for many years, been referred to as the Vortex. This stairway, connecting the hotel lobby to the second floor suites, is believed to be a kind of paranormal portal, a tunnel of spiritual energy that is often thought to be the reason why so many ghosts and lost spirits continue to reside in and around the Stanley Hotel. Many guests and employees of the hotel have also witnessed this haunted highway for themselves, and it continues to be an area with numerous documented sightings. Most recently, a young girl was photographed on the stairs by a guest, despite no little girl being present at the time. The picture was so clear and so persuasive, it even made it on the national news. The concert hall, built by Stanley himself as a gift for his wife Flora, has long been the site of some strange late-night concerts. It would seem that Flora, who cherished the Steinway grand piano her husband had gifted her on the hotel's opening day, would play in the hall as often as she could. Despite there being a bowling alley for Stanley and his friends built underneath the stage, it is apparent that Flora's love of music and playing has never really left the Stanley, because even today, classical piano can be heard coming from the hall late at night, long after the musicians have left and the guests have retreated to their rooms. These ghostly concerts have been documented for many years, but have noticeably increased since the hall was renovated in the year 2000. Making it one of the most active spots on the property in more recent years. Many believe it is the spirit of Flora herself, still making sure that her guests are being entertained, or perhaps striving to keep that old-world charm of the Stanley Hotel alive. The concert hall is not the only place she is known to frequent. She is also known to wander around the halls and has been seen standing at the top of the stairs. Another ghost known to wander around the concert hall is Paul, one of the well-known ghosts that haunts the Stanley. He was a jack-of-all-trades around the hotel, and part of his duties was enforcing an 11 p.m. curfew. Many have reported hearing "get out" being uttered late at night, while others swear he tried to push them out the door and into the hallway. A construction worker reported that he felt Paul nudge him while he was sanding the floors, and tour groups on the Stanley Ghost Tour have reported he flickered a flashlight for them. Many years ago, a young girl named Lucy was found in the hotel basement looking at some of the construction plans. The staff found out she was hiding there and threw her out into the cold, where she eventually froze to death. As a result, she now haunts the concert hall and the basement. She entertains the requests of ghost hunters, often communicating with them with flashlights. She also has been known to show up in pictures. On the fourth floor of the Stanley Hotel, more than anywhere else, strange and unusual activities, including actual ghost sightings, are a regular occurrence. In the early days of the hotel, the fourth floor was a little more than an enormous attic, used for storage during the winter months when the hotel would close down for the season. It wasn't until years later that it was built up. First, as in-house lodging for female employees and their children, and then later as hotel suites. Many guests who stay on the fourth floor speak of children running through the halls, laughing and playing into the late hours of the night. Much of this activity is centered around room 418 and is said to be the inspiration for the twins in The Shining. Guests of room 418 have reported seeing lights flicker, hangers move of their own accord, and some people's covers are even ripped off of them during the night. But according to some, room 401 is the creepiest in the hotel. It is thought to be haunted by an unfriendly male ghost. Numerous women have claimed that they were inappropriately touched by an unknown presence while standing in the room's closet. The closet has also been known to open and shut on its own. One man claims he watched as his wedding ring moved from the bathroom counter and fell down the drain of the sink. Some guests have also reported the light in the corner of the room flickering on and off. Lord Dunraven, who was the original owner of the piece of land that the Stanley Hotel resides on, is believed by some to be the man who haunts this room, although he never actually visited the hotel. Some say they have seen a ghostly-looking face looking out of the window of room 401 when the room is not booked. In room 407, multiple guests have reported the odd experience of being tucked into bed by some invisible force, and others have felt someone sit on the foot of the bed, only to find nothing but an indentation on the covers when they switched on the light. No one has ever seen the ghost that haunts this room, but it is apparently very friendly and caring based on its actions. A little boy once stayed in the room and kept kicking off his covers, and every time he did, the ghost would tuck him back in. It is not uncommon for ghosts in old-fashioned styles to appear in haunted places, and room 413 of the Stanley is no exception. There have been several guests who reported seeing a man sitting in the corner of the room in an old-fashioned suit that just doesn't fit with today's style. Other reports have been made of a man's face in a blue ball resting outside of this room. Of all the rooms, though, room 428 seems to be the most active, with reports of heavy footsteps moving across the room and furniture being rearranged as the occupants sleep. Guests have also reported hearing footsteps above them, but that is actually physically impossible given the slope of the roof. Even more strange is the ghost of a lone cowboy who has made himself known time and time again by surprising a sleeping guest by appearing at the edge of their bed. Strangely enough, there is no record of a cowboy dying in that room, but many Estes Park locals believe he is the spirit of James Nugent, known as Rocky Mountain Jim, a local man and explorer responsible for much of the town's founding. His spirit is said to gravitate toward female guests, sometimes giving them a cold, ghostly kiss in the middle of the night. Other reports on the fourth floor include people seeing strange lights, and some say they have felt a presence while they were in the hall. Others have even reported seeing the ghostly figures of children running through the hallways. The Stanley may have its fair share of hauntings, but they all pale in comparison to the hotel's most notorious and coveted hotspot, room 217. In the early years of the hotel, room 217 was the location of a horrific accident, one that would prove an early indicator of the sordid history that would follow the Stanley for the rest of its days. Late one night, as a snowstorm was fast approaching, the head housekeeper, Mrs. Elizabeth Wilson, was making her rounds, lighting the lanterns throughout the hotel in case of a power outage. Unfortunately, what Mrs. Wilson had no way of knowing was that there was a leak on the second floor, slowly filling the entire wing with a flammable gas. As she entered room 217, lighting a match beneath the lamp, an explosion rocked the hotel, destroying the room, the hall, and the floor beneath it, dropping her down into the dining room below. Amazingly, no one was killed, not even Mrs. Wilson, who sustained little more than two broken ankles and a story she would tell until her dying day. Still, the damage was done, and the legend was starting to unfold. She returned to work until she retired in 1950. Despite not dying in the blast, many believe that Mrs. Wilson, who passed away at the age of 90 in her Estes Park home, is still clinging to the room that caused her and the hotel so much trauma. And they could be right, because guests in room 217 have long been reporting personal items being moved around the room and lights being turned on and off. Some unmarried couples have even felt a cold force wedged between their sleeping bodies, proof, they say, that the old-fashioned Mrs. Wilson is still there, watching for any funny business. Guests have also reported that their luggage has been unpacked, and some have even claimed to have seen the ghostly figure of Mrs. Wilson herself. While it's a persuasive story, room 217 has left its mark on history in other ways as well. And if it weren't for the nightmares of a young, struggling writer who had been staying in the room for the night, some of the most iconic characters, moments, and motifs in modern horror would have never been realized. In October 1974, a young Stephen King and his wife Tabitha King decided to take a late summer trip from their home in Boulder to the nearby resort town of Estes Park, booking a night at the Stanley Hotel only a few days before they closed for the winter season. As many people were leaving, the Kings were checking in to the almost empty hotel. Their room, which was room 217, would prove to be the catalyst for one of King's most memorable novels, one that would years later be adapted by Stanley Kubrick and become one of the most talked about horror films of the century. It all started with a nightmare, one where King watched helplessly as his young son was chased through the hall of the Stanley Hotel by an enormous living fire hose, one that would eventually win out, wrapping around his son like a giant snake and swallowing him whole. King woke in a pool of his own sweat, retreated to his hotel window to smoke a cigarette and think about the eerie death of his son and the dream he had just had. There, looking out into the seclusion of the Colorado wilderness, the first ideas for The Shining began to come to him, just a few years away from its eventual completion. The novel, which would become a major part of 20th century pop culture, tells the story of an alcoholic writer and his family staying at a secluded Colorado resort known as the Overlook Hotel, when the haunted hotel is stirred awake by the sun's psychic power, known as The Shining. The novel, King's first huge success, would go on to sell more than 350 million copies worldwide, and eventually be adapted by renowned filmmaker Stanley Kubrick, whose version would meet similar acclaim, despite King famously disapproving of the final product. The second adaptation, spearheaded by King himself, would be filmed at the Stanley Hotel, better fitting his original vision to television, as well as honoring the terror he felt that night long ago in room 217. The Overlook Hotel Stephen King created for The Shining may have been fictional, but his interpretations of horror's most haunted hotel room was not. Room 217, as well as the Stanley Hotel's reputation as a whole, continues to frighten, not just in the land of television and movies and literature, but also in the real world. In the hotel's ballroom, guests have reported seeing apparitions of people dressed in formal attire, dancing and partying. Some have even claimed to have heard the sounds of music and laughter coming from the ballroom when it's empty. In addition to these specific locations, guests have reported other mysterious occurrences at the Stanley Hotel. For example, some have reported hearing strange noises like knocking or footsteps coming from empty rooms. Others have claimed to have seen objects move on their own or felt cold spots in certain areas of the hotel. Besides the hotel itself, the Stanley has a few other decidedly creepy locations. There is an on-site pet cemetery where some of the owner's animals have been laid to rest over the years. Cassie, a friendly golden retriever, is said to still deliver newspapers and scratch at the doors to be let in from outside despite being buried in the grounds. Comanche, a fluffy white ghostly cat, has also been seen and heard around the property. There is also an ice house. As there was no indoor refrigeration, the Stanley Hotel had an outbuilding to house large blocks of ice. The ice house has been remodeled into a museum containing some of the original Stanley steamer cars. And it also has two spirits that have been seen inside. One of them is a boy named Billy, who is a shy kid that will sometimes show up as a blurry figure in photographs. There is also a large cave system located beneath the hotel. In the early days of the Stanley, it was seen as unprofessional for the staff to be seen by the guests. Employees would use the underground pathways to travel between rooms and the hotel's bar, restaurant, and laundry facilities. The ghost of a pastry chef is said to haunt the caves, as evidenced by the alluring and inexplicable scent of baked goods that is frequently reported here. There is also a gray cat with glowing eyes that will be seen and then just disappear. The hotel stands today as a beautifully restored testament to its glory days when it served as a holiday retreat for the wealthy. A range of tours highlights the history of this magnificent historical structure while providing all the comfort and glamour required by even the most discerning modern visitors. Whether you believe in ghosts or not, it's hard to deny the allure of the Stanley Hotel and its fascinating history. The property has inspired countless stories, films, and legends, and it continues to be a popular destination for those who seek a spooky adventure. I will leave you with a quote from Stephen King's book, Dr. Sleep. "The world was the Overlook Hotel, where the party never ended, where the dead were alive forever." Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of the Nocturnal Mysteries Podcast. I will be back in 2 weeks' time with a new episode for you. If you would like to keep up with the show, you can follow me on Instagram at Nocturnal Mysteries Pod, TikTok at Nocturnal Mysteries, or on X at Noctmist Pod. After the episode releases, make sure to check out the show's TikTok, as I usually post a video with some pictures of the site. If you have anything you would like to hear me cover on the show, please don't hesitate to reach out on social media and let me know. Also, I am honored to be a part of Bad Secret Media with one of my personal favorite podcasts, the Secret Levels podcast. You can go to badsecretmedia.com to find all the information on all the shows that fall under the Bad Secret Media umbrella. If you would like to support the show, the best thing you can do is rate or review the show wherever you listen to it. This will help others find the show and share in the spooky with the rest of us. All episodes are researched and written by myself and edited by the man behind the mysteries, the show's executive producer, Toby Von Doom. The show would not be what it is without all the hard work he does with all of his editing magic. You can find him on social media at Toby Von Doom. Until next time, stay curious, stay weird, stay kind, and before leaving the board, don't forget to always say goodbye.